This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Top stories of the day. We did talk about this to start the show, but just to refresh. A name that was linked to the Broncos. Don't know how serious of a link that was. It was probably just rumor stuff, but wide receiver Rashid Shaheed, formerly of the New Orleans Saints. The Saints are trading him to the Seattle Seahawks, according to Adam Schefter. So that was a name that's likely going to... Now, Seattle's maybe likely out of this Jaylen Waddle conversation, if that is really a conversation for the Broncos. But the Saints will get, in return, a fourth and a fifth-round selection in the 2026 NFL Draft. Is Waddle a first-round guy? And then I just got this one. New York, the Jets. New York is trading three-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle Quinnen Williams to the Cowboys, according to ESPN. So they're selling. They are done. They are shipping them off to Boston or wherever. Boston, Texas. Sauce Gardner was traded earlier. That was a move for the Colts. Like, that's a window move right there. The Colts are trading first-round draft picks in 26 and 27 to the Jets for star cornerback Sauce Gardner.
I don't like that move.
For the Colts?
Well, I just, like you said, it's a window move. It's them basically saying, we have 1 year and that's it.
When you trade first-round draft picks, like we've experienced, it takes a few years to recover, and the Broncos maybe finally are out of that a lot quicker than we thought. I guess thanks to ownership, the Paytons, Bo Nix, kind of defensively, Vance Joseph, all that stuff. It's happened a lot quicker for the Broncos in their turnaround as they are sitting at 7-2 with hopes of going 8-2 against the Raiders and then bringing an 8-2 record against the Kansas City Chiefs. Grizzlies' Ja Morant. So he was banned. He didn't really address anything. He was asked about it. He was banned. He had a one-game suspension Monday night. The team imposed a punishment on him due to his actions in Memphis in their loss to the Lakers on Friday. And he didn't really have much to say about it. This guy, dude. It's one of those dudes. He has all the talent in the world, but he just can't get out of his own way. He was, after the loss to the Lakers, he said, go ask the coaching staff. According to them, probably don't play me. Honestly, that was basically the message, was what it was after. It's cool. I don't know, man. It just seems like this guy, for the last several years, he's always had something. And he just can't get out of his own way. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Okay, how serious are the Rockies when it comes to considering former Rocky Adam Ottavino as the next general manager for the Rocks? I read this in so many different outlets, but MLB, Trade Rumors, Anthony Franco, it says, it's unclear how seriously the Rockies are considering Ottavino as a candidate to run baseball operations. The 39-year-old not only has no front office experience of any kind, he's still technically an active player. Ottavino pitched in the majors with the Yankees as recently as this past April. He made three appearances before electing free agency. He spent the rest of the season as a free agent, but has not officially announced his retirement. Wouldn't that be a Rockies move? I don't know about that one. It's just don't do that. And some of the other finalists, I think, was it the Guardians assistant general manager Matt Forman? Previously, it's been previously reported that they were finalists for the position, but they're now out of the running. Tanner talked about this morning on Good Morning NoCo, saying maybe that was a Rockies thing, not that Matt Forman pulled out of it, but it was the Rockies, thinking maybe they're better off with a guy that's still kind of considered maybe more of an active pitcher at this stage. Boy, that would be a move. I don't know, man. Yeah, luckily, we don't have to talk about it yet. Is it alarming that they haven't got a general manager yet? You would think.
They're just taking their time and looking for the right person.
The right guy, you know, making sure they got the right fit.
I'm being optimistic. I'm hoping for Tanner's sake.
I'm hoping for all of our sake. This could be an amazing state of sports if the Rockies were good, too. Can you imagine if the Rockies were good? We would be spoiled rotten here. We got the Broncos finally figuring it out, probably for years to come. We got the Nuggets, certainly within a window, still for the next, you know, a little less than half a dozen years, maybe less, I don't know.
Well, Jokic stays.
The Avalanche, the same thing. And if the Rock, and then we've got a really good college basketball scene here, not so much on the college football side of things. We would have a lot of great sports to talk about. It would make this show even easier.
I mean, isn't CSU Pueblo good at football?
You tell me.
We should start talking about them.
Go ahead. What do you got? What's your take? What's your take on CSU Pueblo?
They have a I don't know much about them, but okay. I've heard they're good.
Yeah.
And CU's terrible. Mm-hmm. So let's all root for CSU Pueblo.
Okay. No, I'm still rooting. I'm always going to root for these teams, but it has just been a rough go. The UNC Bears were kind of the darling story for a bit, and then the shellacking that they took over the weekend at the hands of Montana State. Really kind of, I don't know. I don't want to necessarily say they got brought back down to earth, because it wasn't like they were winning those games. It just, you could sense, we had a liner on the station running saying, hey, is this the turnaround? Is this the year the Bears turn it around? I think the answer is yes. They're turning it around. Yeah.
I mean, they're in the turn lane.
They're trying to turn around. They're at the what do you call it? The roundabout.
Yeah.
But they keep going back around. They're not choosing a new road to go on.
Yeah, UNC knows what a roundabout is now.
Yeah.
Now it's time to get through the traffic, because there are a lot of people that don't know what
a
roundabout
is. I don't trust roundabouts. Let me just say that. I don't trust them. Okay?
Do you not trust the roundabout, or do you not trust people driving in the roundabout?
Because
I've heard roundabouts are really, really efficient.
They are, if assuming everybody follows the rules and knows who they're yielding to. It's very simple, but not everybody follows the rules that well.
Yeah, but not everybody follows the rules on a straight road.
That's very true. If you guys know, I live in, it's Timnath, Fort Collins. The actual physical address now is Fort Collins where we are, but it's still kind of Timnath. There where the Walmart is. And there's fast food and all that stuff. It's a three-way stop sign. So the people entering, driving in from the east, going west, but turning south or turning north, there's no stop sign. And I'll tell you, my kid's obsessed with Wendy's chicken nuggets, so we go there a lot. And we never fails. People stop at that. They stop when they're not supposed to stop. And that just holds up traffic, and then they can't decide whether they should go. And then nobody yields at the three-way stop sign. It should be the first person there. It is, you take your life into your own hands. But you can't put a stop sign there because it would get too backed up because it's coming off of a major road. So, yeah, you're right. It's not just the roundabouts that people don't follow.
Maybe more people should go back to Anshore Driving School, proud sponsor of Coach Speak.
Maybe they should.
And learn what a roundabout
is. Maybe they should, Mike. Maybe they should. Other breaking news. I don't know if you know this about me, Michael. My deepest, darkest fear. You know what terrifies me the most, right?
Jokic retiring?
That's one of them, but
Jokic going to the Nuggets?
You know. No, he's already on the Nuggets.
I'm sorry. I meant to say
Dynamite.
Lakers.
Dynamite drop in by you. You failed it. Move on. Wipe yourself off and just move on. You know, what terrifies me the most? It's a tiny little thing.
Okay. Let me think here.
Beady little eyes.
Jokic not existing.
You're not going with me on this at all, and it's so sad. You know I'm petrified of mice. Just absolutely terrified of those things.
I tried to protect you.
Kind of. You were going to let it kill me. You didn't warn me that it was behind me. In our old building, we had mice.
I tried to tell you not to look behind.
Yeah.
It's like, Brady, you might not want to
it
look
was
behind.
Crawling
you were about
up
to
the
look.
Brick wall behind me. It was awful. I am a farm kid. I have dealt with cows giving birth to calves. I have dealt with cows, mean, angry mothers chasing me down. I have been bucked off of horses before. I've rocked myself off of a four-wheeler before. I've been in crazy situations on the farm, and it never scared me. But it was like a realization hit me one day. I went to go feed my 4-H steers. We had an old Folgers can. We kept those to put grain in. And I go to dip it in there. I'm probably, I don't know, 9 years old. Dip it in there, and I've got it. And there's like five or six baby little tiny devilish mice. Never bothered me before. Mice never bothered me before. Never thought about it. We had barns, old barns. They were everywhere. We slept in the barns. These things jump out of the Folgers can onto my arm, and they're just everywhere. And I'm like, gah! And at that point, I was like, holy crap, they're everywhere. There are mice literally everywhere. So every time I would go into the barns to get feed or whatever, make the loudest noises I possibly could so the mice would scurry away. So my wife knows this about me. I'm not the toughest guy, but I'm not a wimp, I don't think, necessarily. Well, I'm more or less
I mean, you're afraid of mice.
Yeah, I'm afraid of mice. Even dead mice. I don't want to remove them from the mouse trap. Sorry, PETA.
So I mean,
my wife texts me in our warehouse where she does where her business products are. She texts me and she goes, "We have mice." And I was like, "Oh, okay. Hopefully someone else can figure that out." So when I get home last night, she's like, "Here, I have all the mouse traps ready to go. Here you go. You go place them." So knowing there's mice in there, we found where they were getting in. I doubt they left. So we covered that up. And I'm placing these mouse traps. One of them snapped, did not get me, but one of them went off. And I'm stuffing them under little shelves in the corners and stuff like that, knowing that's where they're probably going to die. All night, I'm waking up, middle of the night, just like, oh, I wonder if we got one. Who's going to get it out? That's going to have to be me. Yep, that's going to have to be me. So I'm already figuring out I'm going to have to get a shovel to scoop it out of there because I'm not touching that thing.
And I don't want to touch it either.
I'm going to put it on the shovel and then take it outside. And then I have to get it off the mousetrap, right? Because you can't just throw the mousetrap away. That's wasteful, right? You keep the mousetrap.
No, I'd throw the mousetrap away.
I was thinking about that, but I know my wife would say, where did the mousetrap? We had seven of them. Now there are six. What if we have more mice? So
you know what I would tell her?
How am I getting the... Long story short, I go in there this morning. I'm on my hands and knees looking at where I placed all these traps, just begging and praying that I don't see one. And I didn't. We didn't get one. We didn't get a mouse. So, big buildup for nothing. Didn't see it, but I'm sure the day is coming.
You know, if you want to, you can tell her about all the diseases that mice carry.
Yeah.
Like you could tell her, hey, there's this thing called the hantavirus, and you don't want to get that.
Smitty says glue traps are easier. I don't like the glue traps, man, because they will rip their feet off to try to escape those things, and then you just have a footless mouse. Wiggling on the glue trap, man. That is the stuff of nightmares. That's worse than The Exorcist right there.
You could get the electric ones that electrocute them. It ends pretty quickly. I was actually present for one. We in the old building, we had a mouse that was trapped
and
in the sink.
You watched it die.
And I helped it out of the sink. And it, you know, went one end, and then it went right to that trap and...
Not doing those. That's weird, too. All right, 19 minutes after the hour, Mike Brohard. I don't think he's afraid of mice. We'll talk to him coming up next. Let's talk about CSU basketball a little more. We had Ollie Farokmanesh on earlier. Great chat with him. But are we hyping it up? Yeah, they smoked Incarnate Word. They were supposed to, but when you do what you're supposed to do, it gets me excited. We'll be right back.
Complete rundown of all things high school football playoffs. Listen to the postseason special presented by Clearwater Products, a Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after 12 o'clock, welcome back to The Whole Show. Joining me now on the First Advantage Hotline, Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. Mike, my friend, I told you I would text you. I did not lie. I watched bits and pieces of the remaining games of the World Series. Final game was pretty damn fun.
It was. It was a lot of fun. It's, you know, welcome to America, Brady.
Well, there's a lot. America, I got the freedom now. I got all these options, Mike, and now we got college basketball rocking and rolling. It's a great time to be a sports fan.
It's not a bad time. It really is not. It's there's enough to keep you occupied with whatever your little desires may be.
Thank you. I had Ali Farokhmanesh on earlier, Mike, and I had to give him a hard time. I mean, 98? Come on, couldn't get to the 100 in the first game? Couldn't get there?
You know, you need to keep the fans coming back wanting for more.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah. What did you make of that game last night? I mean, there's so many new faces. And I looked at it as like, man, these guys look like they've been playing together for a very long time.
Well, the funny thing, they kind of have. I mean, really, they've been together since June. So that is kind of a long time. Not 4 years long, but in this day and age, that's a long time to have a team together. They looked really connected on defense. The motion was great on offense. I think they finally got to the point where they were playing with the pace that they wanted to. And you had five guys in double figures, and you were without a starter in Rashawn Bimba.
Yeah, and I know it's game one. It's the first game here. They were significant favorites against Incarnate Word, but they win that way. Sometimes when you do what you're supposed to do and then some, you know, it's early. You get to talking. Like, how good can this team be? I think the understanding right now is that this is a deep basketball team, and right now, Ali Farokhmanesh, it's a good problem to have trying to disperse those minutes, especially when you get into games where they're a little bit tighter and not everybody gets a chance to get, you know, double-digit minutes.
Yeah, but like you pointed out last night, I mean, you have Kyle Jorgensen come in, and he replaces Bimba. He did a much better job this year than he did last year as a true freshman, right? So you see growth. Those minutes that guys got tonight, or last night, that they might not get later on in the year are valuable because they might get them again. You never know when a guy's going to have like a sore hamstring, is going to be limited, or, you know, could catch the flu and he'll miss a game. You got to have people, and that's why you like to have a team that's deep and you like to have a team that's versatile so you can work on some things. And yeah, it's one game. They're not a finished product, but it gives them a great foundation to where to start and where to build and keep trying to find ways to get better.
What are there any major differences that you see in Ali Farokhmanesh, you know, compared to Nico Medved at this point?
Their personalities are a bit different. It may not seem like much, but they are. Ali has put his own little kind of stamp on the offense. It's nuanced. You might not notice it very much, but that's what it is. Is it a complete overhaul? No, but part of the familiarity is what the good thing is, especially with the culture of this team. That's not going to change. You got a coach that cares about these guys more than just basketball players. And, you know, that was a big reason why 13 guys came back this summer. Nico was gone. It was, you know, Ali was still here. They still came back for him and the program as much as anything else. And that says a lot about what's been built here. And Ollie will continue that on, and he will do it in the same way. But, yeah, there are going to be nuances to what they do offensively and defensively.
When Rashawn Bimba gets back, and hopefully it's sooner rather than later, does he jump into the starting role? Does Kyle Jorgensen stay? Or is that one of those things where it's kind of like yet to be determined? It depends on if KJ can continue to string games together like that, because that was a pretty solid game for him last night.
It was. It was a real solid game for him, and it was a really – it bodes very well for the depth that they have at that position, right? So that's what you're kind of hoping for to see and develop and things like that. But, yeah, I mean, Bimba was expected to be the starter. He's been a big part of this team. yeah, he'll come in and they'll share minutes. It also depend on, you know, when he's ready and how much he's ready to play when he does come back.
Mike Brohard joining us, CSURams.com. Based on one game, how good do you think this team can be this year, Mike? Just a random prediction, random guess. Do you think this is going to be a really good basketball team, a team that's kind of still figuring it out, somewhat solid, average? Based on one performance, how hyped are you about this team?
I'm really hyped about this team. I'm hyped for Ollie. I'm hyped for this group because, you know, I've been around the summer. I've watched how hard they work. They have expectations for themselves. And I think it's going to be fun because this is going to be a competitive Mountain West again. And I think they factor into that very well. I know it was interesting. I think they were picked seventh last year. They were again this year. Nobody really knows how things will come together. And it seems like they've got some things together faster than most. And it also seems like they've got places where they can really still grow.
Mike, as we move along here on the football side of things, off last week with the bye week, back at it against UNLV this week, what has the vibe kind of been like surrounding this team?
I think upbeat. You've got some – I know some fans have cashed in this season and they're just waiting to see what happens next. There are a lot of players on this team that have personal pride or are going to play with personal pride. I did not see this team quit. I know some fans thought that they quit. If they would have quit, that would have been worse than a 28-0 loss at Wyoming. The guys didn't quit. I don't see any of that in this team. And I also think you saw a team, especially offensively, that was put in an odd situation. You have a different vibe that's going to come with Grant Chestnut, right? You have a team that's still dealing with the emotions of losing their coach, then going into a rivalry game, and then having your third different offensive coordinator, third guy calling plays. That's a lot to throw at a team. I think, and then talking to guys this week, and I'll write a story on it later, the bye week gave them a chance to get settled offensively. Grant to get settled as the offensive play caller and instill what he wants. The players to figure out the hows and the whys of what's being called, and that's important, especially for a quarterback like Jackson Brousseau, any quarterback. But I think they've gotten to the energy that they want, and they've gotten to the understanding that they want, so they can really start to move forward.
Mike Brohard joining us, CSURams.com. The Rams will get set to take on UNLV this weekend, 7:30 on FS1. Mike, that process, and I don't – like, how involved are you able to get in the process? We know Tyson Summers taking over for the next four games. We'll see what happens. But in that interview process – with the hiring firm, I'm just curious, do they go out, like, do they gauge interest first? They're talking to people, they gauge interest, and then if there's interest, they set up a Zoom. What is the process like for that? Because, I mean, it's kind of uncharted territory. A lot of times these are when you're in the middle of the season like this.
Yeah, so, I mean, they've already started gauging interest. They already had people that have reached out to them that want the job, and then you've got to start going through your checks and balances, and the search firm will help them and those types of things. You're going to narrow it down. They're going to want to coach early in December, right? Because you got the signing date coming up. You want a coach that's going to be able to get out and hit the road and at least get a signing class put together. But then you've also got to deal with the ripple effects of everything that's going on in college football. There are a bunch of jobs open right now, right? And some people that have jobs are going to take jobs that are open, and that's going to create other jobs that are open. That's a pretty big rock and a pretty big ripple that's been thrown in the lake of college football right now. And you've got to sort your way through it and figure out who's on your list and who shouldn't be on your list and really find out who's interested, and then you start narrowing things down. With so many jobs open right now, everybody's doing the same thing, trying to find their guy. And whoever your guy is might be somebody else's guy, right? So you've got to wade through all those things, too.
Mike Brohard joining us. I got a texter here. A side note, I guess. Do you think San Diego State has a chance to go to the playoffs this year?
No.
Yeah.
I don't. And the only reason is because they started so far down. It will be interesting tonight to see where they are, right? North Texas has played really well. Memphis is ranked. Some things would have to happen in that conference to really shake things up. I talked to some people about 4 weeks ago. I said San Diego State's they're that X factor for me. And right now they kind of control all their marbles, right? I think they have a tough game this week going out to Hawaii. But that's a good team. That's a good team that's getting better. I just don't know if you can jump all those other teams. And I don't know that they really have that marquee win that helps them. And honestly, this is probably the worst the Mountain West has looked in football in a long time. Your strength of schedule doesn't get any help in this conference the way that things have shaked out, right? UNLV's lost two straight games. Boise State's lost games. And now you don't know how long their quarterback's out. You've got teams beating up on each other. And it's just not the strongest league. So I don't think that helps a San Diego State because there's not that team that you beat in this league that really raises anybody's attention.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Mike, what are you guys working on over there that we can check out throughout the rest of the week at CSURams.com?
Well, I don't know if you know this, but we have a basketball game tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight, so the start of the women's basketball season is beginning. It's an exciting time of the year for that. It's crossover season, right? Like you said, everything's going on. I've got my eyes on some tennis and some swimming for this week. Obviously, a football game. You got the big snow day celebration. We expect you out there trying to ride the rail on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Do I have to sign a waiver?
I think you do.
Maybe. I'll consider it.
You might want to, and you might want to update your health insurance.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that. But no, I think it'll be fun. The weather's supposed to be nice. They're gonna make snow. It'll be a good celebration. It'll be fun. We're also kind of interested because I think there's like a big vendor, thing on Friday. A bunch of vendors are going to be in. So we're kind of curious if Ryan Pfeiffer's going to go out there and find about, I don't know, maybe five or six more Patagonia vests to add to his collection. There's a lot of stuff that could be happening this week.
A lot of stuff. Mike, have I asked you this before? Kevin Lytle and I were talking about this when we started to see it nationally, media members playing a pickup game against assistant coaches, and we threw out the idea of us going up against CSU's coaches. Would you be on our team, or would you be like a reserve for the coaches? Where would you sit?
Definitely not a coach. And then again, I still have to get clearance from my doctors because I got both my hips replaced.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm ready to go yet. I might just watch and laugh at you guys. I would love to see like Baylor Hebb and Joe Palmer just tear you guys apart.
Yeah,
it'd be fun. I think it would be nice to see like Tim Shelton take Kevin down on the low post.
Is that where we put Kevin? Because Kevin was talking like he might want to be the point guard.
I mean, if you guys start switching on defense and he ends up on Tim, I think that would be fun to watch.
Well, they would go hard too. Like it sounds fun in theory, but once you get out there, you're like, these guys actually might want to destroy us. So I don't know.
I just hope our photographer's out there so I could see Kevin get posterized.
Could we push for this next year? Because I'm in if we do, but maybe half court.
You might want to talk to the men's basketball SID, Ryan Pfeiffer, see if you can get that set up for it.
All right, I'll talk to Ryan. Can we get, like, points? Can we get, like, start off with, like, a 20-point lead or something?
What?
Yeah.
That goes all against the spirit of competition.
Well, yeah, but I've seen some of these scores, man. These are lopsided scores.
You're calling for this game. You want this game. We're starting on an even playing turf.
I better start training. I'll start training. Mike, always appreciate it, man. Look forward to catching up with you next week.
Take care, guys.
All right, Mike Brohard, CSURams.com.
I would love to see that.
I think it'd be fun.
You know what your team's name would be?
The crappy team.
You guys would be the Generals.
Yeah, it would be bad. Because those guys are still like in great shape. They're running up and down the floor like that would not go well.
It would be like you versus me in basketball. My knees no longer work. I could never shoot a basketball anyway.
I don't know if I would. I don't know. That would be tough. Maybe just like do a 3-point competition or something. Something where we don't have to move a lot.
You go.
We'll see if we can make it happen.
They'd still win, but, that would at least be respectable.
There's not enough media members that cover CSU, though, to field a real team, I don't think.
And that's gotta get some ringers.
That's not a knock on CSU. It's just the state of Northern Colorado. There's not a ton of, like, we're the only state, the only radio station. The guys that do the games are technically part of the staff for CSU, so I don't know if they'd count. Although I'd take Adam Nygaard on our team, but he already said no. But I don't know if they could be on our team because they're not technically, like, they're media members, but they work for CSU. They work for Learfield and CSU. So right now it's like me, Kevin Lytle, Justin Michael from DNVR Rams.
Well, I mean, there is a guy who comes through the station on Mondays who maybe you could give some
media
credentials to.
Yeah, we'd need more than Brock Wisney, I think. I think
he would be helpful.
Yeah,
he's got a couple of
Smitty
teammates.
Says, fill out the radio team with Hall of Famers. Smitty would be on that team. We'd put him on there because he's a CSU guy. I don't know if, I mean, Dixon's a big dude. You know, he can move some people around, but he's kind of the arch nemesis, so I feel like he would try to work against us somehow.
Yeah, but he knows how to talk to the referees.
That's also true. He could probably officiate the game. That would be interesting. 40 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out, get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Lemons Heating and Cooling. Make sure your heater's okay, guys, because it's starting to get colder. We are getting to that point. And if you're just now discovering that your heater is not ready, then now don't wait another month. Talk to Lemons Heating and Cooling, HVAC contractor here in Greeley. They'll service a lot of Northern Colorado, including Timnath, which is where they helped me out for the AC and the heater. Free estimates are available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. So the text on Big Hub, do you think San Diego State has a chance to make the playoffs? They would have to get out in front of Memphis. That would be the big one for them because you've got the, again, to refresh the rules for everybody, it's 12 teams. Automatic bids go to the five highest ranked conference champions. So you've already got an SEC team up there. You've already got your Big Ten. You've already got your Big 12, and you've already got your ACC team. I think that's Louisville at this point, isn't it? So then the next, and then the rest would be at larges, but then the next highest ranked conference champion, at least at this stage, would be Memphis. And Memphis, they were there last year too, remember? They were in these conversations last year too. They're sitting at 8-1, although Memphis is ranked, but Navy is leading in the race right now. So there's Navy and Memphis and North Texas to look at. All three teams have only lost one. So if Memphis beats Tulane, 6-2, East Carolina, 5-3, if Memphis beats Navy or if Navy beats Memphis, either way, if they both remain undefeated by the time that game rolls around, that's going to be a marquee victory. San Diego State, they have Boise State next. Boise State's 6-3. That would be the biggest marquee win for them, and that's not a huge win. So I would say that, Micah, don't you agree? There's not going to be this isn't going to be like anything like last year. There won't be a Mountain West team in the college football playoff.
Absolutely not.
No. San Diego State, if they go undefeated the rest of the way and Memphis starts dropping games, and then, you know, Navy starts dropping games, then I guess maybe.
You can only hope for losses. That's the only way you get in. You just root for the negative.
Yeah, that's the only way you could do this. 48 minutes after the hour, let's take a quick break here. We'll wrap up hour number two coming up. We got buy or sell. Also, UNC basketball. I want to talk about them for a bit coming up. And then the NFL playoff picture. Let's get to it. What needs to happen for the Broncos not only to make the playoffs but and win, but to maybe move up more? They're third in the AFC. Let's talk about it. We'll be right back.
Hear college football, the NFL, and the Broncos on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
I fly light, pack a gear, high light planes. If you catch me at the border, I got visas in my name. If you come around here, I'll make a more day. I get one down in a second.
Renaissance Insurance Group. I've told you guys a lot about them. Formed by two UNC Bears alumni 20 years ago. Go Bears. Renaissance Insurance has always had our backs. They specialize in risk management, commercial, and personal insurance needs for Weld and Larimer County. And they're also the go-to for workers' compensation and farming operations. Don't lose what you've been working so hard for. Call Ryan at Renaissance Insurance. 970-674-8825. 12:54 the time. Coming up, we're going to get to buy or sell. I've got a potpourri, a potpourri of buy or sell questions that we'll get into. Also, the UNC Bears win big. The games kind of looked about the same last night. UNC against Colorado College, they ended up running away with it. We're left looking at this roster. It's going to be a really fun two-man game podcast coming up on Thursday with Steve Smiley. Because like Ali Faroukhmanesh, it's a good problem to have. There's a lot of dudes on this team that could push for like legit game minutes. But how is that going to round out as the season progresses and you don't have teams like Colorado College and you got to tighten it up a bit? So it'll be fascinating to see how both coaches handle their rosters going forward. And then let's look at the NFL playoff picture. I got the schedule breakdown for every team in front of Denver and all the teams that are still in the hunt, going as far down as the Baltimore Ravens. Also, Trade Watch, are the Broncos going to be players? They're going to make something happen. I'm seeing another receiver's name on the list, too. We'll get to it coming up. Buy or sell. Don't go anywhere.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.